Even if you lived through the Ocean State Credit Union crisis in the 1990s, the Ed DePreet governorship, and both of Buddy Cianci's reigns as Providence mayor, the 38 Studios legal documents can lead to only one conclusion. You thought you've seen it all? You haven't. Wonder why Rhode Islanders are so cynical about their government and business elites? Well, how about a House Speaker, Gordon Fox, and a Senate President, Teresa Pivoweed, who withheld information from rank-and-file lawmakers and slipped the $75 million Curt Schilling deal through the Statehouse in the waning hours of the 2010 General Assembly session. Then there's a governor, Donald Cachuri, who appears to be little more than a mindless cheerleader for the dream that was former Boston Red Sox pitcher Schilling's video game company. The state's Economic Development Corporation, made up largely of top business leaders, rubber-stamped the 38 Studios fiasco and approved putting $75 million of taxpayer money on the line for an endeavor so risky that even the venture capital class wouldn't bite. The most stomach-turning revelation in the thousands of pages of court records is the role played by Fox, who is now serving a 3-year sentence in federal prison for bribery and corruption convictions. It turns out that then-Majority Leader Fox was involved in shaping the deal nearly a year before the plan became public. Fox and his ally, the lawyer and tax credit entrepreneur Michael Corso, were working behind the scenes to push the state subsidy to 38 Studios. Corso ended up with $2 million for his role and a small stake in the company. Because Fox and Corso both took the Fifth Amendment to avoid incriminating themselves during the legal proceedings, it isn't possible to know precisely what happened. But what we now know about Fox should frost all Rhode Islanders and hopefully give the state police some avenues for their ongoing probe. Fox was desperate for money to maintain the lavish lifestyle that he and his husband enjoyed. Fancy cars, dinners at fine Providence restaurants, flashy jewelry, and an expensive East Side home were all part of the life he couldn't support from the modest salary he earned from being speaker and his marginal law practice. We know this from details released by the U.S. Attorney's Office after Fox's guilty plea in an unrelated case. It seems like no one in this mix was smart enough to ask Massachusetts economic development officials or then-Governor Deval Patrick why the Bay State wasn't pulling out the stops to keep the World Series Heroes company in its Maynard location. In retrospect, the arrogance of Cachuri and the EDC is a bitter pill for taxpayers in a state with big financial challenges. There was also a lack of skepticism from many elements in the Rhode Island media. We all have to take a deep breath and understand that this lawsuit is not a fact-finding commission, and the lawsuit documents should not be used as a vessel for a witch hunt or drawing conclusions about every aspect of a complicated case. Top politicians say it's time to move on. Governor Gina Raimondo says we must learn from the mistakes of the past and not, quote, be afraid to take action on economic development. House Speaker Nick Mattiello says the House will review the court documents and conduct oversight hearings. That's fine, but it's time to get beyond the press releases. We'll believe the governor and the speaker when they pledge real change. They could start with no more slippery end runs of the state constitutional provision that gives only the voters the power to borrow large sums of money. This would mean no more moral obligation bonds for pet projects. Voters usually approve bonds for worthwhile projects, such as road repairs or university improvements. Voters should also be the check on such initiatives as 38 Studios. Yes, Rhode Island must put this disaster in our collective rearview mirror, but that begins with the politicians, not the voters.